Father, we just thank you and praise you for everything that you're doing in this house. We thank you for the aligning and the alignment of your spirit. And we just give you permission to draw all of those things together, draw them into your perfect will so that we can accomplish the vision of the house. And that is to win Lower Delaware and the Delmarva Peninsula to you. And Father God, we just reverence your presence. We honor you and we thank you for being here with us. In Jesus' name, amen. Tonight we're going to be talking about, and this is kind of like a reminder message just to get you to see what's really going on. We've opened doors to destruction in the United States, and we cannot ignore those doors. They're there. They're mistakes of the church. They're mistakes of the leaders. And it's not something that we're trying to be negative about, but the more that we embrace the truth of what's happened, the more that God can use us to fix those issues and those problems. So we're going to be talking about some of the demonic doors that were opened over the United States. These doors have not been closed, and they're leaving us open for destruction to take place on our lands. 1 Chronicles 21, verses 14 to 16. Now Satan stood up against Israel and moved David to number Israel. So David said to Joab and to the leaders of the people, "Go number Israel from Beersheba to Dan and bring the number of them to me that I may know it." I want you to notice something there. It said, Satan stood up against Israel and moved David. And Joab answered, "May the Lord make his people 100 times more than they are. But my lord the king, are they not all my lord's servants? Why then does my lord require this thing? Why should he be a cause of guilt in Israel?" Nevertheless, the king's word prevailed against Joab. Therefore, Joab departed and went throughout all Israel and came to Jerusalem. Then Joab gave the sum of the number of the people to David. All Israel had 1,100,000 men who drew the sword, and Judah had 470,000 men who drew the sword. But he did not count Levi and Benjamin among them, for the king's word was abominable to Joab. So Joab knew that the king was doing something wrong. Tried to warn him. Didn't listen. And God was displeased with this thing. Therefore, he struck Israel. So David said to God, "I have sinned greatly because I have done this thing. But now I pray, take away the iniquity of your servant, for I have done very foolishly." Then the Lord spoke to Gad, David's seer, saying, "Go and tell David, saying, thus says the Lord, I offer you 3 things. Choose one of them for yourself that I may do it to you." So Gad came to David and said to him, "Thus says the Lord, choose for yourself either 3 years of famine or 3 months to be defeated by your foes with the sword of your enemies overtaking you, or else for 3 days, the sword of the Lord, the plague in the land. With the angel of the Lord destroying throughout all the territory of Israel, now consider what answer I should take back to him who sent me." And David said to Gad, "I am in great distress. Please let me fall into the hand of the Lord, for his mercies are very great, but do not let me fall into the hand of man." So the Lord sent a plague upon Israel, and 70,000 men of Israel fell. And God sent an angel to Jerusalem to destroy it. As he was destroying, the Lord looked and relented of the disaster and said to the angel who was destroying it, "It is enough. Now restrain your hand." And to the angel of the Lord stood by the threshing floor of Ornan, the Jebusite. Then David lifted his eyes and saw the angel of the Lord standing between earth and heaven, having in his hand a drawn sword stretched out over Jerusalem. So David and the elders, clothed in sackcloth, fell on their faces. And I see some looks of concern on people's faces right now. And I hope that you understand that God, our God, will do this. Our God is doing this to America because we have sinned against him. And if you want to call it him provoking us to sin against him, so be it. The issue is the church. The issue is the political leaders, which circles back to the people of the nation not humbling themselves, praying, and seeking the Lord. We have taken on other nations' foreign gods, foreign ways, and God is not pleased with this. Here are some things that will mess with your modern-day Christian theology. One man caused these doors to be open, David. Because David did what he did, 70,000 people died. Because one man, innocent people are dying. There is a price for sin. If one man caused this much destruction and this much loss of innocent life, does it take much for us to arrive at the conclusion that when God has had enough, he has had enough? If we want to look at this in a very clear way, there are 434 senators and representatives in the House of Congress, and not all of them are right. I don't know how many preachers we have, how many houses of God that are not preaching and teaching the truth. That's a lot of sin from more than one man that has to be accounted for. We have preached this, others have preached this, but we refuse to believe that God will bring destruction to us. If God did it to his people, why do we think that we are better than them? The United States doesn't have enough prayers going up to cover the sin that is going on in our land. I know that we have 24-hour worship going on in Washington, D.C. for years, but they're still making laws against godly values. There's 24-hour prayer going on in different states. Nothing has changed. They are still leading this country astray. The corruption has not stopped. The violence hasn't stopped. Nothing has changed, but the truth that it has gotten more evil. The darkness has gotten darker, and we don't want to acknowledge this in the church. God will let us walk in delusion. He will let us walk in delusion. He's not going to try to convince us to change. He's not going to try to convince the church to do what's right. If the church makes that decision to stay in sin, God will send warnings. And then after that, the warnings will cease. It's the truth that's in the Bible. If we don't embrace his truth, more destruction is coming. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 9 to 12. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth, that they might be saved. You know, we have to receive correction when it's given from our leader. We have to receive correction when it comes from the Holy Spirit. If we don't, you're setting yourself up to be deceived. You're setting yourself up to walk in a delusion. And when you fight against the leader, you're fighting against God. It has nothing to do with the leader. The leader's just doing their job. And believe me, the leader does not want to come to you and tell you what you're doing. They really want to just go on, serve the Lord, but they have a job to do. And we have to be more obedient and listen and do what's being told of us. Stop fighting the leader. Wherever you're at, wherever you attend church, stop fighting them. It's for your own good. It's for your own benefit. Don't set yourself up to be in a strong delusion where God reaches a point where he says, okay, I'm not going to talk to them anymore. He does that. He's doing that now. There's some people God will not talk to because you've not done the first thing that he's told you to do. You're refusing to get in line with his promises for your life. You're refusing to be obedient to those things that are going to produce good things for you. And you're mad at your leader. It's not going to go well for you. It's not. And the sooner that you understand that, the sooner that you'll get a revelation that God loves you. He placed you in a committed relationship with a leader so that you can grow. Every one of us has to get pruned for growth. You're a tree, you're a vine, you're a branch, whatever you want to call it. In order for you to grow and produce fruit, you have got to be clipped and cut back. You're not going to grow that way. So verse 10, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie, and that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. The doors to destruction have been opened through the lie that God will never do anything to America because he loves us so much. This is a strong delusion that many in the church continue to walk in, but Scripture does not lend to this way of thinking. On the contrary, Scripture proves that this is not how God thinks. We've been taught many times that the United States is Babylon. Let's look at Isaiah chapter 47. This has a subtitle of the humiliation of Babylon. Come down and sit in the dust, O virgin daughter of Babylon. Sit on the ground without a throne, O daughter of the Chaldeans. For you shall no more be called tender and delicate. Take the millstones and grind meal. Remove your veil. Take off the skirt. Uncover the thigh. Pass through the rivers. Your nakedness shall be uncovered. Yes, your shame will be seen. I will take vengeance, and I will not arbitrate with a man. As for our Redeemer, the Lord of hosts is his name, the Holy One of Israel. Sit in silence and go into darkness, O daughter of the Chaldeans, for you shall no longer be called the Lady of Kingdoms. I was angry with my people. God gets angry. God gets angry with his people. I have profaned my inheritance and given them into your hands. You showed them no mercy. On the elderly, you laid your yoke very heavily, and you said, I shall be a lady forever, so that you did not take these things to heart. Now remember the latter end of them. Therefore, hear this now, you who are given to pleasures, who dwell securely, who say in your heart, I am, and there is no one else besides me. I shall not sit as a widow, nor shall I know the loss of children. But these two things shall come to you in a moment, in one day. The loss of children and widowhood. They shall come upon you in their fullness because of the multitude of your sorceries, for the great abundance of your enchantments. For you have trusted in your wickedness. You have said, no one sees me. No one sees me. Your wisdom and your knowledge have warped you, and you have said in your hearts, I am, and there is no one else besides me. Therefore, evil shall come upon you. You shall not know from where it arises, and trouble shall fall upon you. You will not be able to put it off, and desolation shall come upon you suddenly, which you shall not know. Stand now with your enchantments and the multitude of your sorceries, in which you have labored from your youth. Perhaps you will be able to profit. Perhaps you will prevail. You are wearied in the multitude of your counsels. Let now the astrologers, the stargazers, and the monthly prognosticators stand up and save you. From what shall come upon you? Behold, they shall be as stubble. The fire shall burn them. They shall not deliver themselves from the power of the flame. It shall not be a coal to be warmed by, nor a fire to sit before. Thus shall they be to you with whom you have labored, your merchants from your youth. They shall wander each one to his quarter. No one shall save you. What actions in the Church of America are counterbalancing the sin and the degradation that is being committed in the homes of Americans? What actions in the Church of America are counterbalancing the sin and degradation that is being committed in the homes of Americans? We have to admit that there is a problem with prayer. If we don't find a way to fix this problem, the church will continue to remain in its slack condition and nothing will change in America. This is just the truth of what is happening in the church today. We have major upheavals going on in our government, an unprecedented level of natural disasters, and war on the horizon, yet we cannot find a way to pray at all. There are cries all over America for churches to unify and for the churches to have revival. We can have praise and worship for hours upon hours, but where is the prayer? We have become so fixated on having the right worship mix that we don't emphasize what's important: prayer. 2 Chronicles 7:12-15. Then the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said to him, I have heard your worship. No, your prayer. And I have chosen this place for myself as a house of sacrifice. When I shut up heaven and there is no rain, or command the locusts to devour the land, or send pestilence among my people, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and worship, no, and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to their worship made in this place. Prayer. Prayer. It's prayer, not worship, that moves the heart of God. This isn't my word, this is God's word. People will run to worship, but they will not run to prayer. They minimize its importance. You can have a 24-hour prayer, 24/7 praise and worship in all 50 states. If you don't pray, what we just read in 2 Chronicles 7 will not take place. God will not come and heal our land if the church does not humble itself in prayer. God doesn't need the church to worship. He needs the church to pray. Until the church gets this right, we will be watching America burn to the ground. This is something that's a hard concept for us because we believe that God needs us to worship him. But God has his angelic host set up to worship him. Revelations 4:6-11. Before the throne, there was a sea of glass like crystal. In the midst of the throne and around the throne were four living creatures full of eyes in front and in back. The first living creature was like a lion. The second living creature like a calf. The third living creature had a face like a man. And the fourth living creature was like a flying eagle. The four living creatures, each having six wings, were full of eyes around and within. And they do not rest day or night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created. Revelation 7, 9 to 12. After these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude, which no one could number, of all nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues, standing before the throne, before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, saying, Salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb. All the angels stood around the throne, and the elders, and the four living creatures, and fell on their faces before the throne, and worshiped God, saying, Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom, thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. God has angels who worship him 24/7. He doesn't need us to worship him. He needs us to pray. Worship makes us feel good. And please don't get me wrong, I'm not saying to worship. I'm saying the church's priority has got to get back to prayer. We need worship. Why aren't there any calls to pray? When there are calls to pray, why aren't people flocking to those places to pray like they just did with the Asbury Revival? They ran to those places, and they will run to those places. People in the church stopped their lives to get in on what they thought was going to be the next big thing. But these very same people don't have time to pray. They don't have the ability to press through and go behind the veil in prayer. Think about it. Truth will wait. Truth has been waiting for the church to pray. The church doesn't have enough sanctified, set-apart people to cover and counterbalance the sin that is running rampant in our land with prayer. God's word does not ever change. This is a prophetic word that God gave Pastor Barber in August 11th of 2007. Father, what would you want your people to hear? My people must know that I am the Almighty God. They must know that I am coming in great vengeance upon all those who have rejected me and my Son. They have also rejected my Holy Spirit. My love knows no boundaries, and my wrath knows no end to those of disobedience. Wake up, body. Wake up and understand that I have spoken, and so shall it be. Many are in the bowels of hell cursing me at this very moment, but they had the same chance that you had, and they also refused me. I have sent my servants into the very throes of hell and brought them back with a message, but even that has not deterred them from their sinful nature. When is it all going to end? That is a question that so many of the saints are asking. It will end when the clouds split wide open and my Son returns for the true church. Have I not warned that gross darkness was covering the earth, and the darkness would become even darker? Is it not happening? Look around about you. What are you hearing? What is happening? Wars and rumors of wars. Mothers and daughters fighting each other. Division between father and son. Starvation on every front. Terrorism on every front. It has already started, and it is not going to end. This was back in 2007, and look what's happening today. But I have also promised that I would keep those who were really mine when all of this comes to pass. Remnants, Hold tight to my hand and do not let go. The enemy will knock at each and every door, but you do not have to open up the door. Hold fast to what you have and watch me move on your behalf. I don't know if you've been hearing about this, but since 2012, we've had an upsurge in cases of cannibalism in the United States. Some people are referring to this as the start of the zombie apocalypse, just in case you didn't know. And if you look at some of the news reports and the newscasts, people are eating people. It's grotesque. Leviticus 17:10-14. And whatever man of the house of Israel or of the strangers who dwell among you who eats any blood, I will set my face against that person who eats blood and will cut him off from among his people. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that makes atonement for the soul. Therefore, I said to the children of Israel, no one among you shall eat blood, nor shall any stranger who dwells among you eat blood. Whatever man of the children of Israel or of the strangers who dwell among you, who hunts and catches any animal or bird that may be eaten, he shall pour out its blood and cover it with dust. For it is the life of the flesh. Its blood sustains its life. Therefore, I said to the children of Israel, you shall not eat the blood of any flesh, for the life of all flesh is its blood. Whoever eats it shall be cut off. Hopefully this is self-explanatory, but you need to know that this is going on, and it is a door opener to destruction in the United States. Here is something else that took place in the United States. 13 Mayan elders spoke a curse over the United States in 2012. The year 2012 in the Mayan calendar prophecies have always been not only about cataclysmic events taking place, but also the return of Quetzalcoatl, the feathered snake who will usher in the return to a time when the world was ruled by these barbaric fallen angels, Nephilim, and demons. And one of the things that we've been telling you about, that the demons are getting bigger and bigger and bigger. This entity will not rule alone, but will bring with him 12 snakes of wisdom, ascended masters who together with him will rule the world in the most barbaric and bloody 3.5 years this world has ever seen. On October 26th of 2012, a group of 13 Mayan elders arrived in the United States to begin a journey that will take them across the country from New York to LA, carrying 13 crystal skulls that will be used in ritual ceremonies in various New Age hotspots across the country. These crystal skulls are said to hold mystical properties and have gained interest in the United States and around the world in recent years, with films such as Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull, which multitudes of people saw in theaters. These types of things will only serve to alienate us even more from the Father. These things that go on, they're not drawing us closer to God, they're pushing us away from Him, and unleash all kinds of demonic curses on this land. The journey of these 13 Mayan elders concluded in the city of LA on 11-11-11 with a ceremony designed to open a portal to another dimension and awaken spirits in the North American continent. That's us. That's the United States. This is what one modern day Mayan believed. What is destroying us is pollution, not the 13th baton, said Paris Oxla, who this year went to India, Pakistan, Colombia, Kyrgyzstan. For us, this is a time of reflection to call for unity, in which to love each other, and in which to understand that we must change how we behave with Mother Earth. On December 21st, Paris Oxla will lead a traditional ceremony in the town of Gumakarj. First of all, we will pray to the Creator and Shaper of all things. Secondly, to our Mother Earth, Paris said, Then we will pray for our brothers, the animals, and our ancient trees, because the forest is the city of our brother animals. This is all demonic. Jaime Mahana Kamo is a native speaker of Yucatan Maya, one of more than 30 Mayan languages spoken in Mexico and Guatemala. I personally think that December 21st is an important day. This was in 2012. It represents the beginning of good things. Mayan culture is cyclical. Everything begins again at some stage, and people expect things to get better, added Magana, who has a degree in linguistics from the University of Valladolid. These are doorways that were opened. So the church is still playing, but these major demonic doorways have been opened. These are doors of destruction to us. These Mayans believe that when these spirits were awakened, released, they imparted to the people ancient wisdom regarding the future of mankind contained within these skulls. What do we know they received? They received demons. They received demons and all of the witchcraft that came with them. And these are the things that you're fighting against day in and day out, whether you're fighting to stay free from them or you're fighting them in other people. We are in the middle of a war. You have to keep that warrior mindset. We're in a war, and the war is not over with until God says it's over with. When a demonic doorway is opened, it gives the devil a license to enter into our world, sometimes into our being. Laws have been passed. Our nation has been opened to bigger and stronger demons. We're going to talk about high places in closing. The Hebrew word for high places is Bama. This word refers to a pagan religious worship area. These high places were usually located on natural heights such as hills and mountains. And he sacrificed and burned incense on the high places, on the hills, and under every green tree, 2 Chronicles 28:4. Some of the best known high places are visible today, such as those at Gezer and Petra. It was there that the gods who were no gods were worshipped, the gods of stone, trees, and metal. Numbers 33:52. The high places were places of religious worship. Five religious activities occurred there: animal sacrifices, prostitution, the burning of incense, daughters walking through the fire, and human sacrifices. 2 Kings 17:8-12, and had walked in the statutes of the nations whom the Lord had cast out from before the children of Israel, and of the kings of Israel which they had made. Also the children of Israel secretly did against the Lord their God things that were not right, and they built for themselves high places in all their cities, from watchtower to fortified city. They set up for themselves sacred pillars and wooden images on every high hill and under every green tree. There they burned incense on all the high places, like the nations whom the Lord had carried away before them. And they did wicked things to provoke the Lord to anger, for they served idols, of which the Lord had said to them, "You shall not do this thing." It appears that there were sacred pillars at high places. These appear to be carved pillars depicting the female goddess of fertility and male deities. It appears that each high place had priests. The gods that were worshipped at the high places included Baal, Asherah, Asherim, Topheth, and the gods of the sun, the moon, the constellation, and all the hosts of heaven. The gods at the high places were depicted as carved and molten images. This is at Dover Downs. This is the Monster Mile. It's a high place. We all know what type of sin and degradation goes on at Dover Downs. You got the gambling going on. You have the Firefly festivals. Fortunately, they didn't have it this year, but the drug abuse, the rapes, the tortures that went on out there at the concerts, the different demonic activities that went on. This is a high place. that's in our town, in Dover. This is a pyramid in Memphis, Tennessee. The high places, because they're portals where demonic entities can come in and demonize a person, a city, a region, and a people that put them there. This is a statue of Anubis at the Denver International Airport. Anubis is an ancient Greek name for a jackal-headed god associated with mummification in the afterlife in ancient Egyptian religion. He is the son of Nephthys and Set, according to the Egyptian mythology. According to the Akkadian transcription in the Amarna letters, Anubis' name was vocalized in Egyptian as Anapa. The oldest known mention of Anubis is in the Old Kingdom pyramid texts, where he is associated with the burial of Pharaoh. At this time, Anubis was the most important god of the dead, but he was replaced during the Middle Kingdom by Osiris. Anubis also attends the weighing scale in the afterlife during the weighing of the heart. During this season, a New York museum paraded this statue all across America, up and down rivers, on trucks, on rivers. It was on display in different cities. In the natural, it was just announcing a tour for the antiquities and museum exhibits, but was it really? Aside from that merchandising effort, this Anubis was the god of the dead, and basically the god of the dead was being paraded across America to signify that America is dying. This is the newest creation of evil that sits atop Madison Square Garden's Manhattan Appellate Courthouse. I wasn't able to verify this, but I believe that this is the courthouse that is currently attacking President Trump. The artist's three-part commission at Madison Square Park includes a mythical female figure atop the Manhattan Appellate Courthouse. You can scroll back to the picture. Look at the head. The goat-like horns atop the head of the courthouse statue are large braids that curl in on themselves to form goat-like horns. The horns signify sovereignty and autonomy. Fox News commentator Tucker Carlson decried the statue as demonic. The horn statue does bear a resemblance to the image of the goat-like Baphomet used by the Satanic Temple, a self-described non-theistic religious organization that frequently engages in political protests of expression of religion in the public square. The lace collar. The statue wears a lace collar around its neck, which Sickender, the artist, has explained is meant to resemble the collar worn by the late Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Ginsburg, who died in 2020 and sat on the Supreme Court for 27 years, has come to be seen by many abortion activists, such as the group Ruth Sent Us, as a symbol of female empowerment and even abortion itself. Last thing about this monument. Since 1900, the New York City Courthouse has displayed a collection of statues of men significant to the development of law, including Moses, Byzantine Emperor Justinian, and Confucius. The New York Times ran a glowing feature of the new statue titled "Move Over, Moses and Zoroaster. Manhattan has a new female lawgiver." By depicting a naked horned female image, Sickender said she meant to break from tradition. Okay. This is an invasion of darkness. This is an invasion from the realm of darkness into our realm. These are doors. We're giving them easier access. All of these idols and statues being built all over the country, they come in with greater frequency than ever before all over our country. And we're going to see more and more people who are demonized just like they're zombies. These are real things. I don't want to see America destroyed. I don't think any person who's prophetic, who hears God's voice, wants to see this take place. But the reality is these doors are open. And until they get closed, until we start repenting of these things, not only on an individual basis, but as the body of Christ, what do we expect God to do? To just ignore these things? Just walk by us and forget them? He can't. He can't. And we cannot live in a false reality that nothing is going to happen to America until these things get torn down, until we restore godly principles and godly behaviors back to America. This is the truth. It's ugly truth, but it's the truth. And we need to pray for those in the church who don't accept the truth, that they don't get into the delusion and don't go so far, because it's trouble. It's just trouble. Father, we pray that the move that you have promised us would take place would begin. The move towards change, the move towards revival, the move towards truth being proclaimed in your streets. We know that you have to do what you have to do. We want to see America turn back completely to you. Anoint us, prepare us so that we can go out into the highways and the byways and tell the truth to your people so that they can stand and they can change from a place of knowing, not from a place of not knowing. Correct us. Correct us. Bring us into right relationship once again with you so that we can be and fulfill the calling that is upon America, so that we can once again be that bright shining light that you ordained for us to be. In Jesus' name, amen.